re-election. Pennsylvania's Ryan Costello making the announcement, citing family concerns, but also pointing to the newly redrawn congressional district maps in the state of Pennsylvania, saying it would be tougher for him to win re-election. Costello was first elected in 2014. The Treasury chief says he does not expect to see any negative impacts on the U.S. economy because of recent tariffs that President Trump has announced. In fact, Steven Mnuchin says if there's an impact in the economy, it should be a positive one.
I think the strategy's worked, quite frankly.
Mnuchin pointing to a new agreement reached between the U.S. and South Korea to address American concerns about a growing trade gap between the two, while exempting South Korea from the new tariffs on U.S. imports of steel and aluminum.
We expect to sign that agreement soon.
Mnuchin was speaking on Fox News Sunday. The government of Malaysia is considering a bill that would make it a crime to knowingly print or distribute fake news. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn-Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Iran calls President Trump's appointment of John Bolton to be National Security Advisor shameful, citing the former U.N. ambassador's attendance at a meeting of an Iranian regime opposition group conference. Here's more on that from correspondent Jennifer Breeden.
Experts state the Iranian regime's leadership seems to fear the recent appointments of Bolton and Mike Pompeo to director of the CIA, noting that Iranian regime officials have previously sought to approve of U.S. leadership to ensure decisions that favor the regime, including the 2015 Iran nuclear deal.
Meanwhile, there's still plenty of reaction coming to Bolton's appointment here at home. Here's more on that from correspondent John DeMaster.
Ohio Governor John Kasich saying he doesn't like that Bolton is calling for preemptive strikes on Iran and North Korea, telling CNN State of the Union.
That kind of language bothers me, you know, premature bombing and all that, or preemptive bombing, I should say.
Former National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley isn't worried about the president's nomination, telling ABC's This Week it's good to have people in office that he can trust.
John is more in line with the president's views, and the president is the person elected by the American people to set foreign policy. He deserves people around him who think the same way.
For USA Radio News, I'm John DeMaster.
And the final four March Madness matchups are set. It'll be number one seeds Villanova and Kansas and Loyola Chicago against Michigan on Saturday at the Alamo Dome, with the title game set for next Monday. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
There are local weather here today at WHCR-DB. Outside our studio, about 40 degrees right now. Probably hit the mid-40s today. Nice and sunny and clear out there. Increasing clouds on the overnight. Chance of rain Tuesday night, way later on. Maybe 30% chance around here. Lows could be in the 30s. Temperatures a few degrees cooler than normal for this time of year, but I guess better times are coming. Chance of rain on Wednesday, cloudy with a high in the near 50. Chance of rain Wednesday night, early in the morning. Otherwise cloudy, low around 41. Cloudy on Thursday, high near 59. Showers likely Thursday night, mainly after 3 a.m. Showers likely on Friday and Friday night, but clearing up for the weekend. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Bill's Table. Your host, Bill Kinslow, here at WHCR-DB. Our call letters coming to you every week. Little thoughts on food and beverages, anything else that might come up. Another family feast coming up. Those of us who celebrate Easter, and of course, Passover's upon us also that season. And it is the start of spring. Even the Northeast, we're not really feeling it yet, but we'll get there. Hope it's not like last year. Hope we get the planting done on time so we can have our nice tomatoes and corn on time this summer. It's the trouble with spring, trying to cook seasonally, especially with spring. But depending on where you are in the country, the spring vegetables, people start craving them. We've been, you know, a long winter with root vegetables and comfort food, and now we're trying to, you know, hoping for that little change. Change is always good. The seasons gives us something to look forward to. I like living in a four-season place, although the spring seems to be happening later and later all the time around here. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, we've got a nice day coming up, and people may choose to do brunch. Brunch is always nice on a couple of these Sunday holidays, Mother's Day, Easter. Nice to have that larger midday meal and then relax a little bit lighter at night. Oh, or have Easter dinner early afternoon, 1, 2 o'clock. Again, call it a heavy lunch, but have your main meal then and then something light later on. At the restaurant, of course, we'll be open from noon till around usually 8 o'clock on holidays like this. We're seating till 8 o'clock, and we'll have a few roasts. I love roasts. Roasts, I was a roast cook at the Lake Placid Club, and something, even the first restaurant I worked at, you know, prime rib was our specialty, and so, and Sunday we had steamship round and turkey and roast pork, and always had, especially Sunday, a lot of roasting going on. Still one of my favorite things to have. It's really a lot of inactive cooking time, obviously. It's in the oven, and it gives you time to do other things. It makes the house smell good. And there's normally leftovers. It's not like you're portioning four portions of food for a family of four. You've got to, you know, you buy a roast, it's X amount of pounds, and you always have something left for another meal or sandwiches. You know, carving is a skill you like to do and like to learn, and making a sauce, making a pan gravy, another technique. But once you get that down, you can roast anything and make a nice sauce, a couple of side dishes, and there you have it. Of course, even if you're doing brunch, I'd like nothing more than to have at least a small ham instead of frying all the bacon and sausage and things. A nice smoked ham is always good. But we'll have of course, we always have prime rib. We featured it earlier that day. And then leg of lamb, one of my favorites. Easter, for me, lamb, ham is traditional. Lamb, for me, once I got into restaurants, lamb became the way to go. I'm going to do turkey. I'm going to do a turkey breast, not the whole bird Thanksgiving. We're going to lighten it up a little bit. It's not going to be heavy stuffing and probably a white wine sauce. And I'm thinking of a savory mushroom bread pudding. So this would be something not as bready, more custardy. It's Easter, right? We need to cook with some eggs somewhere in there. Still flavored with some of the poultry herbs, but might be I'm going to experiment. Probably make a duck cell first, finely chopped mushrooms, and then custard, and we always have homemade croutons around anyway, so that might be an answer. Plus, incorporate asparagus into the dish, spring vegetable, always nice. We have it year-round, of course. It's available, but this is the time when you start thinking about it.
You turn and run, but if you have a change of heart.
So, what do we, so for roasting, again, hams normally, people think of ham in the supermarkets, you know, give them away or give a good deal on them. And for most people, that it's very simple. A ham, of course, a smoked ham, it's already cooked, basically. You're just heating it up. If you decide to do a fresh ham, a fresh leg of pork, a little different story. It takes a little bit longer. Very good lean meat, economical cut of meat, although pork loin, I'll tell you, with demand on pork ribs in this country, the pork loin boneless is a very, very economical cut of meat to buy. If you buy a bone-in pork roast, pork loin, you're probably going to pay more because the those bones are valuable. A lot of barbecue places out there. Everybody likes ribs. So we'll talk about, you know, how to achieve. That's another one of my favorite. I think the first roast I cooked as a young cook, the chef and I were going out to a concert. We had our dates, and I wanted to have the chef over for dinner, and I cooked for him. And, of course, I chose a roast pork. You don't have to worry. Pork, also, when you're cooking it now, you don't have to worry about undercooking. You don't have to cook it to death. I don't think medium rare pork does anything for me, but that slight tinge of pink in there, you want to leave some moisture. Otherwise, people, you know, end up brining or marinating and trying to put some moisture back in. The pork is very lean right now. I know when we cut our loins for cutlets for a schnitzel, it reminds me just of veal. There's not that much fat in them. So if you do a bone-in pork loin roast, you try to get it more from the front end, the rib end, instead of the loin end. The loin end, of course, may have the tenderloin in there, may not. But from the rib, the rack of pork, think of your crown roast, which would be the whole loin. With the bones frenched, sometimes Christmas, that's a big item for people. But a simple pork loin, you don't have to roll it into a crown. And you can get a section that fits your needs. If you have four or five people, or if you have six or eight, you can get it just the size you want. And roasting it on the bone, I like it because you get that advantage of that nice back rib meat, right, that we pay so much more at other times. And it's just roasting on the bone, when you can do it, it's just the meat's more tender. Kind of with the pork especially, it's kind of a little roasting rack. You put it in the pan, so the meat's up off the pan. It's not sitting there steaming like would happen with a boneless roast. And again, you know, portioning's easy. You cut a chop or a double chop for each person. I know we've run it at the restaurant that way. We'll just do a big double chop. It's already cooked, and make a nice sauce and some accompaniments, and you got a nice meal. And with this, when there's leftovers, you know, it always turns into a nice, you could julienne the meat for a stir fry if you like, or what I would do is make a nice Cuban sandwich. You've got some roast pork, get some ham and cheese and pickle, and make yourself a nice, that'd be nice the next day. Looking for ham, we have to look at what the stores do. They've got called the shank half and the butt half, and then, of course, they cut ham steaks out of the middle. You could buy a whole one, bone in, very nice, but that's a big investment in food, unless you have a large group. A nice bone in ham is nice. Some of the boneless ones, you have to really watch the water content, and price usually follows quality on these things. If there's a lot of water added, it's all fine and good, but also they could be a little salty, and you're going to have a lot of loss. When you're cooking these hams, of course, gentle heat is best. I like to braise them. If it's a smoked ham, I actually like ginger ale. Usually I'll use about half ginger ale, half water, because you want to keep the moisture in there. I've done beer. Ham braised in beer is nice. The ginger ale is nice. The ginger, the aromatics there kind of goes along with the smoked pork. And you can also use a little bit of that to baste the ham. It's got sugar in it. Don't use diet ginger ale. Some families, I think down south, use the Coca-Cola, which has a lot of different flavorings in it also. But something sweet. We always like that sweet and salty together. Tend not to do the pineapples anymore, although they do complement each other. I know when we used to cook a ham steak back in the 60s, that was a menu item, a big slab of ham, and you always grilled some pineapple and brushed it with butter. Even used to brush a ham steak with butter. Go figure, right? That's one of those things that when I first started in the restaurants, you just had this vat of melted butter all the time, and you could just use it whatever you needed. It was always there. Big difference from growing up, where we kind of controlled those kind of things, the use of it. But that got me going. One of the things, that just this freedom to have this. If you're basting something, you just had drawn butter everywhere. But we're going to look at a couple of roasts, but also a side dish. What are we going to do for side dishes? It's not going to be the big variety probably to do with Thanksgiving, but especially if you have something like ham where you're not sure about the sauce, we'll discuss a couple of variations on that. But you're not really making ham gravy as it is. You know, pork, yes, you may have pork gravy, but say you're not that good with sauces, we're going to do a gratin, or gratin, you may pronounce it that way, but pronounce gratin, or we're going to gratinate. When you have something like this, your vegetables baked in a nice, or pasta, baked in a nice creamy sauce, that helps the plate. You can have a roast on that, maybe just sprinkle some of the drippings in the side dish, kind of makes a sauce. We always like it when that happens. We're going to get back to the table in a couple of minutes. We've got a break for messages. Chef Bill's Table at WHCRDB in Flemington, New Jersey.
You're listening to WHCRDB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
We're back here at the table here at Chef Bill's table at WHCR-DB. So we've got our ham, pork loin, lamb, the other big one, the other roast. Quick review of that. So usually the leg is what we think of. You could do a shoulder roast, would be all right. Oftentimes those are, because they're, when they're boned out, kind of irregular pieces tied back together. Those are ones a lot of times get stuffed because that's going to braise a little bit, shoulder meat. You can cook them medium rare, but sometimes it's better to braise that. So I don't like stuffing things too much with things that need to be cooked past where the meat is, especially something like beef. By the time the stuffing gets cooked, the meat's overcooked, getting it when you bring the stuffing to a safe, palatable temperature. So, but a braise on the shoulder would be nice. The leg of lamb, bone-in or boneless. Boneless is much easier, of course. I've done bone-in. I've done, actually, if you can find it, like a three-quarter leg, if you don't want to do the whole leg. Domestic lamb, again, for me, is better. Australian's okay. I think they finish with a little bit of grain. New Zealand, of course, grass-fed, will have a different flavor. Good for you. You know, it's obviously going to come in frozen, but I think for this, we want a nice domestic lamb leg. And they say if you can get a smaller one, I've done this before. It's really a nice, tender roast. And some people are put off by the aroma, the lamb smell. And truthfully now, the way they're finished, I mean, they really, they are what they eat. So depending on what they're grazing on, it's going to have different flavors. But if you're not a fan of that, and it's easier also to carve, is trim the fat off. And then just with soft butter or olive oil, just rubbed on the outside so you can season it. And cook it gently, 325, no more than 350. You want to get a little bit of browning on it, but I know I was testing a recipe once years ago. The boys were small and cooked one in the house, and really it was just like a really nice tender roast. You almost thought it was beef. No aroma from the skin. So if you don't like the aroma, take the fat off, and you'll end up with a nice, as I say, a nice roast, something a little bit different. Good for you, too. It's not as fatty. The leg, it's a little leaner. Of course, if you want to splurge a little bit, the racks are always good. Rack of lamb, be a little more money, but especially if there's only a couple of you, you may not want to cook a lot. If you don't want to use the leftovers, just do a couple of racks. Oftentimes you'll find them Frenched, which means the bones have been cleaned right down to the eye of the meat. Nice presentation, easy to handle. We use them at the restaurant. We use the racks for lamb pops, for kind of a snack. Pick them up and eat them, right? Like a drumstick. But doing the leg, they say, I like rosemary to flavor lamb. Garlic always goes well, even with pork. You want to insert some cloves in there. Sometimes with a little paring knife, you can put slivers of garlic in there to kind of perfume it. Or just either puree some, rub some on the outside. If you don't want it that strong, granulated garlic's always nice. But definitely salt, pepper, rosemary. And cook it like meat. Use your thermometer. It's 10 minutes a pound, and then watch it after that. You want that nice and medium rare. Don't want to cook it to death, and you'll be surprised at the nice flavor of a lamb leg. Lamb racks, quicker to cook. I would cook those at a higher temperature because they're like chops, right? So those you can do a little bit quicker. Normally, we skin a fair amount of the fat off of there, and then traditionally would be brushed with Dijon mustard. Again, maybe a little garlic, some breadcrumbs, which is kind of leading into our gratiné or gratin that we're going to do today. Little breadcrumbs get that little browning on there because they're not in the oven that long, so you want that nice golden brown cover, and it gets a little trap for all the juices there. And if you're really going to do something, again, just for a couple of people, it's not a roast really, but if you have those rack chops cleaned, do Parmesan crusted if you like a little something a little different. Marcella Hazon, I used to feature it in a restaurant years ago. You have your lamb chops and you have some nice fresh Parmesan cheese, a little beaten egg, and some breadcrumbs. So instead of dipping the lamb chops in flour first, you press the Parmesan cheese into the lamb and then quickly in the egg and in the breadcrumbs. And you can sprinkle a little bit more cheese if you like on the outside. But these could be pan-fried and finished in the oven. I've done them just on a buttered sheet pan in the oven, flip them over after a few minutes, let them brown up. And you want to cook these, you know, again, medium rare to medium. You don't want them too well done, but really nice kind of steaming that lamb inside a crust there. Nice little flavor. You wouldn't think of cheese and lamb together, but Parmesan, you know, grated cheese is a strong flavor, and it'll really complements the lamb nicely. That's when I need my love. So, say we're doing ham, so the first one, right? Smoked ham, bone in. The shank half, you're going to get a little more bone. They're usually a little bit less money. You've got the shank, which if you like pea soup or beans or anything like that, of course, save that shank and cook it with, we like to use it in pea soup. It provides the flavor. You take the shank out when the soup is done and then just shred the meat and put it back in the soup. The butt end will have probably part of the H-bone in there. A little bit harder to carve, but you'll get a little bit better meat-to-bone ratio. And again, look for not too much water added. If you're doing a boneless one, again, there's very good ones out there that are just maybe look for something that's solid muscle. You don't want, the cheaper ones have a lot of that extra water added or salt water. And also some of the meat is kind of ground up and used to kind of glue the other stuff together. Give it a uniform shape. I guess the less uniform shape you buy, the better off you are. If something's perfectly, they all look the same, then, you know, something's been done. That's why, you know, a bone-in is usually the way to go. But if you're doing a boneless, something to decorate it. If you don't like the fruit, we used to wrap them in pie pastry, not puff pastry. That's too delicate, but good pie dough. We would brush mustard on the outside of the ham, trim the fat off, of course, and then you're going to bake it inside this pastry crust, which is kind of neat because it's going to soak up some of those juices, and you'll have, when you carve it, I mean, you can decorate it, put little cutouts on there if you like, brush it with egg wash, and when you carve it, of course, the pastry's going to crumble, but that's good. You've got some nice little flavored crumbs to have with your roast. Pork loin, if I'm doing bone-in, simply season the outside with whatever you like. Again, I like rosemary, but poultry seasoning works well. It's got sage and rosemary, thyme, all those nice herbs in there. Complements the pork very well. Or you could take it in another direction. If you like the mojo, the orange or citrus and garlic, there's many ways you could take the pork to kind of reflect, what your desires, what your likes are, or even your family background. You take a pork loin. Pork is used across many cultures, not as popular as probably lamb or goat, actually, one of the most consumed meats. But pork is, especially in this country, it's all over in, Europe, everywhere, right? Italy. If I was doing boneless, used to be, my favorite used to be called the Arista, Italian preparation, and we would kind of butterfly the pork loin and fill it with a herb puree. It could be basil, could be fresh rosemary. A little bit of this one would call for some garlic in it. And if you like the garlic not so prominent, a couple things you can do. You can roast the garlic and puree it, or even blanch the garlic. We do that with our green herb sauce for salmon. You want we'll poach the garlic for a minute or so in simmering water. Takes kind of the punch out of it there. You get the nice flavor without it being too strong. But if I was going to butterfly, and then you'll have to tie it back up again, of course, but this puts some flavoring in throughout the pork. It's kind of you could almost call it like a roulade. Think of that. It's going to look like a spiral, or at the very least a pocket. So if you have your boneless pork loin, the fat side down, if you're right-handed, you want the thin end towards your right side. And what you're going to do is, with your knife parallel to the cutting board, you're going to cut along the entire loin and start just with the tip of the knife. And with your left hand, you're going to kind of unravel it. You're just kind of scraping along with the tip of your knife, making an incision and unrolling it so it lies flat. And then you can put your puree in the middle, which could be a pesto. If you want to do a porchetta style, thinly sliced oranges, knock the seeds out of them, of course. But you rind and all, you want that the oils from the rind very, very thin. Those could go in there, or if you like other citrus. You know, it is the end of citrus season here, but oranges are very good with pork. And roll it up and tie it like a salami in intervals with your string, and then you can season the outside and roast it from there. And when you slice it, of course, you've got you're not putting stuffing in that's going to absorb a lot of things. It's going to flavor it. So if you don't want to do the stuffing inside, you could actually just do a pocket where you just slice the pork, just open it up in half lengthwise, and then tie it back up. Or just make a puree and rub the outside. But when you're doing a roast, most important, once you get it to temperature, you always take it a few degrees earlier out than you really need to. You have this carryover cooking time and also the heat. So it could raise the temperature internally anywhere from 5 to 8 to even 10 degrees, depending on the size of the roast. You want that resting time. The juices settle. You can transfer the roast to another serving platter or another pan, and then you can kind of work with your drippings there to get your sauce. Another thing, if you're doing roast, especially the pork and the lamb, is put some vegetables in there, some mirepoix. And here's where you could use ends of vegetables that maybe, you know, you don't, maybe they're a little past their prime, but you don't want to throw them out. Diced onion, carrot and celery, the mirepoix. And these vegetables are going to caramelize, give you a little bit more flavor. You'll simmer them in your broth when you're making your gravy, and then, of course, strain it afterwards. You press, get the juices out of the vegetables there, or you could puree them. I've done that, my old short rib sauce. Have your carrots and onions and a little bit of celery, and then they're fully cooked, nice and soft, and I buzz them with a blender stick and then strain them. It kind of helps thicken the sauce, too. You could have even a gluten-free sauce. Gratin, the side dish that we're going to talk about, and most people think of it as a potato. Potatoes and gratin. I remember the first one. I always thought potatoes and cheese would be a weird combination. My mother always made scallop potatoes just with the milk, and you want a little sliced onion in the layers there, salt and pepper. I always knew when dinner was ready because the milk would bubble over and hit the oven floor, and you could, all right, potatoes are done. That means we're ready. You can avoid that by putting a sheet pan underneath. When you're doing a gratin, put a sheet pan underneath. It is going to bubble. That's when you know that internal temperature has been reached. So the inside is done. And then, but if you have a little splashing, it at least goes on the sheet pan and not in the oven. Normally for the dishes, a shallow dish is better. You'll get a little quicker cook time. Glass is always nice. We want a dish that can be brought to the table. It's nice because the food stays hot. You serve it right out of the dish. And a gratin basically is just the golden crust that forms on the top of the food. And it could be breadcrumbs, could be cheese, could be buttered breadcrumbs. Gratiné is the name for onion soup, or French onion soup. You see it on menus. Gratiné is the, with your bread and cheese on top of the soup. Very popular dish, very good. Brûlée, on the other hand, means burnt. If you see a creme brûlée, that's a little bit beyond a gratin. That's almost burnt, caramelized sugar. You really, on a gratin, you don't want to brûlée it. Although, our macaroni and cheese at Jake's, I don't use breadcrumbs on the top. We use another layer of the grated cheese, the same cheese that's mixed in with the macaroni. And we actually do brûlée that. We put it in the pizza oven, and you do get the dark, I mean, it's bubbly, but you get that dark crust of cheese on top, which everybody likes, right? You're in the, you know, what do you eat, you know, in the edge of a macaroni and cheese or potatoes or lasagna. Everybody likes that crispy brown cheese frico, if you want to call it that, around the edge of the pan. It's always, it's crunchy. It's takes on a different flavor. So in a gratin, we're usually using cheese, breadcrumbs, sometimes egg to help hold things together. You can cook seafood or meat this way, a crab gratin, lobster thermidor, think of that. You may not use cheese, you may just use a little cream or some buttered breadcrumbs, but certainly it's an appealing appearance, nice flavor. It helps protect, especially fish if you're broiling it or baking it, keeps it from drying out. And desserts could do it. I've done it with a sauvignon with the egg yolks, that nice custard. Flash that under the broiler, it kind of browns things a little bit. Leftovers, you're making, again, what did we do? We did that, the Minnesota dish there for the Super Bowl, where we browned the tater tots and cheese in the oven, so that was fun. But you can cook anything at gratin. And the nice thing is, so if your oven isn't big enough for the two pans, when your roast comes out, you turn the heat up then from your roasting temperature up to the 375 or 400 that you need for a gratin. And then you will put your side dish in. The meat's going to rest. You have time to get other things ready. While the, want to make your sauce, any other salad or side dish, you know, you got, you know, 40 minutes or 50 minutes before your gratin is ready. And when you're ready to serve, you can take it out of the oven. I mean, what I've done with roast too is if they've rested a while, if they've cooled off a little bit on the outside, now your oven's very hot again, just flash that roast back in there for 10 minutes or so to bring up that outside temperature. The inside of the roast will be fine, trust me. It stays hot for quite a long time. But this way, you've got a side dish coming out, you've got the roast, and if you haven't made a sauce or if you don't have a lot of gravy, you've got a nice saucy side dish that's going to go with your roast. And you're not cooking stuff on the stove. It's a little bit more forgiving. You can prep them ahead. You know, there's a lot to be said for it. You just put it in the oven and let the oven do the work. So other choices for this. Now, the potato, of course, scalloped potatoes would probably not have the cheese and the crumbs. Potatoes at gratin, when we first went to the restaurant, of course, we had baked potatoes left all the time. And Sunday, there's a buffet, so there was always potatoes at gratin on the buffet. And again, before I went there, I thought cheese and potatoes is kind of strange. But once I tried them, of course, after they were on the buffet line, again, they've been crispy and you got that crust on them, and I was a convert then. And we would simply take nice whole milk, and we got the good New York State sharp cheddar cheese. Some of it actually, we'd get the big wheel sometimes, still with the cheesecloth on it. And just simply melt the cheese in the milk, salt and pepper seasoning, and pour it over the potatoes, and then bake them in the oven. Of course, you've got that the crust going on. Nice buffet dish, because you've got the, it keeps the food moist underneath it, but then you've got that nice golden brown crust that looks good. So you've got a gratin. Then a dauphinoise, take a step up from there. 2 1/4 pounds of potatoes. You're going to peel them and slice them. We like to use a floury potato for this. So a thin would work if you could find them, but a russet is very good. Your baking potato, Yukon Gold would be okay, but we like the russets for these dishes because they're going to throw off some of their starch, and that helps thicken your gratin a little bit, especially if you're using, say, a combination of white and sweet potatoes would be very good. But then you need that. You're not going to make a bechamel for this, you know, even macaroni and cheese. You don't need it. You don't need that extra flour in there. Flour, the starch from the potatoes will thicken it up. So you've got a couple of eggs, and what you do is you're going to beat the eggs with a tiny bit of milk. You're going to have a pint of light cream would be good for this. You're going to warm up a pint of light cream. So you've got your potatoes thinly sliced. Your eggs are beaten with a little milk. You're going to warm a pint of cream, and you're going to blend this in with your eggs and milk mixture. Season with salt, some pepper, nutmeg, and you'll pour this mixture over your potatoes in a shallow baking dish. And usually they call dotting with butter, little dots of butter on top. If you want to add some cheese to this, which I would, Gruyere would be traditional. And you would put cheese on the bottom, and then your potatoes, and then cheese on the top. And also, with your dishes for these gratins, you want to make sure that you butter them well with whole butter, or at least use some vegetable spray. You don't want the food to stick. Now, for this, a variation of this, if you don't want all that dairy in there, although you can still use a little bit of cheese, but say you want to lighten it up a little bit, Savoyard, you would use broth, a well-flavored broth, especially potatoes will take on some salt, so it's one of those occasions where a canned broth probably works better. I've done it with beef stock, done it with chicken, I've done it on the, you know, even on the stovetop, called potatoes boulanger. But the Savoyard, use your stock in there with the potatoes, and you don't have all that milk or cream in there. But this would be 425 degrees, about 50 minutes. If it browns a little too fast and it's not done yet, you can always cover it with foil to slow down that cooking. When you think of it, a gratin, of course, macaroni and cheese, that's a gratin, right? Just we like to use the shells, but that's always a nice side dish. But I think potatoes are more with a roast anyway. Now, something, if you like a vegetable one, a traditional one would be from France, would be with the eggplant. Think of, well, it's almost like an eggplant parm, right? You're going to take eggplants, four medium eggplants. You could peel them or not. I usually like to peel them, but you don't have to. And thin slices, you're going to season them and fry them in oil. You're not going to bread them. Just fry them so they're partly cooked. And then you have, so four eggplants, a dozen tomatoes. You're going to cut them in half crosswise, you know, trim the stem end and the bottom of them. And you're going to put this in an oven-proof dish. You're going to start this on the stove. You're going to layer the eggplant and the tomato. On the top is going to go a mixture of breadcrumbs with garlic and parsley and olive oil. Of course, salt and pepper, season your tomatoes and eggplant. But you'll make layers of this. Get them warm on the stovetop first and then in the oven, 350. Because you want to cook those tomatoes, but that's kind of a easy side dish version of an eggplant parm. Eggplant parm, of course, you're going to bread and fry the eggplant. I mean, that again, another nice gratin, right? Layer it, put your cheese on top, and not a bad idea for a side dish. But this one, if you have some tomatoes and eggplant later on, good way to do it. One that I would like for this time of year, and we've done it with roast chicken before. It's kind of nice, especially if you're doing a pan roast. We did an artichoke and potato gratin. And what happens is, with your roast chicken in the pan, you can make a light pan sauce with white wine and broth. And between that and this bed of artichoke and potato gratin, kind of makes its own sauce. Put the chicken on top of that. But this way, we'll use asparagus. Asparagus would be nice right now, especially this time of year, to make a nice gratin. When we come back, we've got a break for a couple of messages here. But we'll give you the lowdown on that and then see what else we're going to do with our Easter dinner. Chef Bill's Table at WHCR-TV.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Cruising into the final segment here of our hour, Chef Bill's Table. So, potato in either artichoke or asparagus. If you're doing asparagus, probably want about 2 pounds of russet potatoes. You're going to peel them and slice them thinly. 4 cloves of garlic. And you can leave them whole or you can smash them. You're not going to mince these up. We're going to use these for flavor. You've got about 3.5 cups of milk. And with these, whole milk is better. I know most recipes don't specify, and a lot of people use 2% automatically now, but you want, whole milk's only 4%. So it's double what 2% is, but in the scheme of things, it's not, when you're comparing to a cream that's about 18% butter fat, and then heavy cream, 36 to 40%. So, big difference. Salt and pepper. You're going to need about 1/2 pound of asparagus. And those you have to, of course, snap off the root end where it just starts to get tough. You see, sometimes you can peel them a little bit, and you'll get a little bit more mileage out of it, but the rest of it cut in 1-inch pieces, and you could use more than 1/2 pound if you want, especially if it's on sale, right? And you'll need 1/4 cup of fresh Parmesan or Asiago. Your oven's going to be at 375, and you'll need a 2-quart shallow baking dish. You're going to butter it well. You're going to cook these potatoes in milk with the garlic cloves. Only 10 minutes. You're just going to get them started. Main reason, because your asparagus, of course, is not going to take that long to cook. Season this mixture, pull out the garlic cloves, and you're going to season again if you want that little bit of nutmeg in there, but definitely salt and pepper. So you put a layer of potatoes in the baking dish, and then put in your 1-inch pieces of asparagus, and then top with the potatoes. You're going to, again, put that little bit of butter dots and sprinkle the Parmesan over top, and then you can bake this and have a nice potato and asparagus gratin. Now the other, if you want to use artichokes, of course, pretty easy. I mean, if you're doing fresh artichokes, of course, you've got to prep them, boil them in the lemon water. Usually we put a little flour in the water when it's cold just to kind of help suspend them in there. A lot of work. Then you have to, you know, I mean, you've already trimmed the leaves off and you've got to take the choke out of there. Baby artichokes are a little bit easier to do. But for this, you can use frozen or canned. And you're going to slice them thinly. And again, you've got your layer of potatoes that you've partially cooked. And then put a layer of artichokes in there. And then potatoes again, your breadcrumbs on top. And this side dish, just like a roast, these gratins can rest a little bit. In fact, I'd almost encourage it. So the cream, everything can kind of settle down. It's bubbling, you know, sitting there. It looks like it's almost too thin, but as it sits, it's going to get better. Again, with the Dauphinoise, you've got a couple of eggs in there. That's going to help kind of thicken it up. With these other ones, we're not going to use the eggs. We get enough flour and enough starch out of the potatoes. Now, if potatoes aren't your thing, or you're doing something else, of course, I don't know, it's hard for me with a ham not to have sweet potatoes, but you could also do a gratin with part white potatoes and part sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes aren't as starchy, but no matter, they soften up a little bit quicker, and they will still make a nice, colorful, tasty gratin with your half regular russets and half sweet potatoes. Again, peel them, slice them thinly, layer them in there with your other ones. We've done them with even sliced root vegetables, but we're kind of hopefully past root vegetable season, of course. That, to put a sauce, you would still have some potatoes in there to help thicken. But think of cauliflower. That was a standard old vegetable, cauliflower gratin. And you could have your cauliflower blanched, your florets, or you could do what's being done now and make your cauliflower rice almost, right? Crumble it up in the food processor. That would be kind of an homogeneous dish. I'd like better the texture of the florets. But those are done, again, with a little bit of cream and your cheese and butter on top. Some places would maybe use a white sauce for that, a bechamel, but I wouldn't use milk. I would probably use a little bit of heavy cream, and the cheese will help thicken it up. Breadcrumbs also could go on there. If you want something with your egg theme to it, the polonaise garnish, broccoli or cauliflower, on top of that, on top of your gratin would be nice too, and that's where you have your breadcrumbs and diced hard-cooked eggs and parsley and butter. Mix that. That's a nice, colorful, tasty topping. Butternut squash would be a good one to use for a gratin. You could have it cubed. Probably is the best way. And, again, cream, if you want to thicken it up a little more, you know, an egg or two in there or a couple of egg yolks wouldn't hurt. But usually the cheese helps take care of that, and your breadcrumbs that are on top. That's why you let it sit. It's going to, those breadcrumbs are going to absorb a little bit. Spinach, cream spinach you see everywhere, right? And think of spinach artichoke dip. Well, even with your spinach artichoke might be a nice side dish. You could mix that with the potatoes. I mean, once you get in there, I think having this nice baked side dish is a good way to go with your Easter dinner. But spinach, I would blanch fresh spinach, and then I would chop it. It's a little easier to eat. That I would probably blend with a bechamel, a white sauce, your little bit of butter and flour, your roux with your hot milk, thicken that up. Nutmeg definitely would go in there. And you're making kind of cream spinach, but then you want your cheese and your buttered breadcrumbs on top. It makes a nice dish. And it's not a stretch, again, to, if you wanted to do the spinach artichoke instead of as a dip, do it as a side dish. More power to you. I saw an interesting one, crab avocado gratin. Crab and avocado, of course, classic combination. We do the guacamole. It's usually a cold dish, but the person made actually made a sabayon with egg yolk and a little bit of water. I would probably do a little white wine in there, make a savory sabayon. That was kind of the binding agent. But you might not even need it. You've got mashed avocado and the crab meat and stuff back in the avocado shell, and then put your topping on there, your breadcrumb topping. If you want a little bit of cheese, you probably don't need it with the avocado. Should be rich enough, but the possibilities when you start baking things with toppings on them, you really could be creative, and it does put flavor into things, and you know, your timing is a little more relaxed. You've got a little bit more time. You've got oven time. You've got hang time. You're not timing things so specifically on a stovetop, watching things steam or saute or boil. Easy to prep ahead. You got one container. You're going to serve it in the same container. Keeps the food hot. Many advantages to a gratin. So we could go much further, but you've got your roast. You've got your nice big side dish. Again, it's maybe not as grand a feast as Thanksgiving or Christmas, but certainly deserves some attention, and why not make it easy? And, of course, with Spring Company, you can incorporate some nice things seasonally, and but still have that. I like the roast. Roast, good way to serve a lot of people without too much last-minute work. We got a scoot. Hopefully Pete Nercio is here next week. We might be talking about rubs. Trying to get a couple of people on the show. But anyway, we'll get ready for spring, get ready for grilling season. Mother's Day is coming. And you know, next thing you know, we'll be outside cooking. Chef Bill signing off. WHCR-DB Radio.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
This president knows what's right on the international stage and how to deal with Russia.
That's Deputy White House Press Secretary Hogan Gidley as President Trump expels at least 60 Russian diplomats from the United States following the poisoning of a former Russian double agent spy weeks ago along with his daughter in London.
The president's been very clear that we will impose costs on Russia when it is in our interest to do so. And when it's in our interest to work with Russia, we'll do that as well.
Gidley, speaking on Fox and Friends a couple of hours before the White House, confirmed that the expulsions had been ordered. Another administration official says many of the Russians being expelled are actually spies who are only posing as diplomats for cover. Under the president's order, the Russian consulate in Seattle is also going to be closed. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
If you are sick and tired of seeing NFL players disrespecting the flag by kneeling during our sacred national anthem, then you need to show your American pride and appreciation for the Stars and Stripes. Let everyone know that you understand and appreciate